Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Broadband Still a Work in Progress by Ruth Campbell. Working with a broad cross-section of community leaders, Ector County ISD is making inroads to offer internet to families. Called the Connector Task Force, the group was formed more than a year ago with community leaders in education, government, healthcare, and the business community to look at the large-scale opportunity in Ector County. They collected a lot of data that helped them fully understand the challenges that we face as a community and conducted a landscape analysis of what is happening with broadband in the country. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said they also looked for bright spots of what different communities were doing that they might learn from. The Dallas Federal Reserve became interested in what they were doing and identified Odessa as one of four communities that they cover that were exploring broadband access. The Dallas Fed wanted to accelerate that work with us. They brought a broadband consulting firm to the table. This is really a company that designs broadband infrastructure for communities, cities, towns across the country. And so we've been working with them. They helped us develop a model. It is a kind of shovel-ready blueprint, if you will, of where we could put fiber optic cabling and wireless opportunities throughout Ector County that would ensure that almost everyone had access to high-speed broadband in our community. They also put together a business model and price tag with all of this, Murray said. He added that the business model the district shared recently with the city council and county commissioners would allow the city and county to use their federal COVID recovery funds. The project would again put fiber optic cabling throughout our community and then also leverage wireless technologies to ensure that almost everyone in the community had that kind of access. The package itself, there are three different versions of the business model. The version that provides the most coverage for our families would be an investment of about $35 million in infrastructure costs. However, over time, that revenue is brought in from those costs, and so the city and county could, in essence, invest in the infrastructure. And then internet service providers would use the infrastructure to sell their services to residents, Murray said. This would allow almost every family in Ector County to have access to internet service, he said. I keep saying almost because we would still have some very remote parts of our community that would be reliant upon satellite to bring their solutions. So this is where the SpaceX Starlink satellites still comes into play in our community. Because this infrastructure, just the expense of running it to some of the very remote parts of our community, simply wouldn't make sense when there is high-speed broadband available through satellite for some of these families and or businesses. The oil and gas company needs these opportunities, Murray said. So we've shared this with the city and the county right now. We're having more intimate conversations with them to make sure that they fully understand what this opportunity brings to bear, he added. The state legislature recently approved $500 million to invest in broadband across the state, and Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, was part of the conversations at the state level to ensure that money was made available throughout the state. We would be hopeful that our project would bring some of those dollars to Ector County. Again, through the city and through the county, we would have access to those funds. In addition to that, the federal government is also looking at an infrastructure bill, and part of that infrastructure bill is also money for broadband. Right now, we have money sitting in our own community at the city and county level. It's federal money. We have the state that is going to use some of their federal money to support broadband. And then we have the federal government itself that is looking at another tranche of dollars, specifically focused on broadband. And so hopefully, through one or more of those opportunities, we would be able to access the dollars needed to create this opportunity in Ector County, Murray said. The next step in the process is funding. We're working pretty diligently. In fact, we had a meeting just this morning, October 25th, about this very topic. We're following up with both the city and the county to continue to engage in those conversations, also working with the state to kind of push on access to the new money that was just allocated at the state level. But once the funding occurs, it's about a year and a half to 2 years to actually build the infrastructure, because you're talking about 800 miles of underground fiber optic cabling that's going to be run throughout our community. It's a lot of work, and the sooner we can begin, the sooner families will have access to high-speed, affordable broadband, Murray said. He added that he is feeling optimistic about the prospect. There's a lot of energy around this type of work right now. Certainly in our own community, a lot of the leaders fully understand why this is so critically important. The district is expanding the number of families who can get access to the SpaceX Starlink satellite internet. A pilot program was started in Pleasant Farms. Murray said ECISD is also working with SpaceX to explore going into more parts of Ector County. It would require them to launch more satellites, because the satellites that are right now orbiting our area literally orbit Pleasant Farms, which I find fascinating. We've had a conversation with some folks at the state level that are interested in investing some additional state dollars in this adventure to significantly expand it across Ector County to provide many more families with this opportunity, so that the state could study it, better understand it, and then in the 2023 legislative session have a great project in which the state legislature could fund and make more available to other parts of Texas, not just Ector County, he said. What the Connector Task Force has learned is that the more internet providers there are, the less expensive it will be. And that is all about demand of the customers and the number of vendors that are, in this case, internet service providers that sell their product. So the competition really drives the price down. And today in Ector County, some parts of our community have very few options, and so the price can be very high. But this infrastructure will bring many more internet service providers to bear and will allow us to have very reasonable costs for various members of our community, Murray said. He said cable companies and federal government also are providing ways for families to get internet. For families that make less than a certain amount of money, they kind of fall within the poverty range, they have access to up to $50 a month in broadband service. In multiple parts of our community, $50 a month will buy high-speed broadband to the home, and so in essence that is free. The FCC pays up to $50, and if your bill is $50, then you're getting free broadband. We're sharing that information with families all over Ector County that qualify, so that is one way that families can get access. But you can only use those dollars if you live in a place that broadband exists. We still have some places in our community that don't have, you know, the choice of the money is there, but they don't have options. So that is one way. We also last year raised quite a bit of philanthropic dollars to provide free internet access to families, and we're still using those dollars today for families that let us know that they're in need. In addition to that, cable companies and other internet service providers have provided a level of service for about $10 a month. It's a reduced level of service, so it's not high speed, but it is broadband that's made available at a very reasonable price to families. So families today have a variety of options that are available to them to have broadband within their home if you live in a place that has the infrastructure. If you don't live in a place with that infrastructure, that's when it becomes real difficult as a family. And that's what the Connector Task Force is trying to solve. Let's make sure that our entire county has access through an infrastructure to high-speed broadband. And then the money piece has been worked on by the federal government, Murray said. Areas that don't have broadband infrastructure are mainly in Pleasant Farms, western Ector County, and places in the northern part of Ector County. The city does have healthy infrastructure. The problem in the city is cost. And so the families that don't have broadband and they live within the city limits, it's typically because it's too expensive and they can't afford it, he said. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. Jean Lloyd Carr, 80, was born in Kingsville, Texas, on September 28, 1941, and joined his family in heaven October 23rd in Denton, Texas. Glenn is preceded in death by his parents, Garland Carr and Georgia Perry Carr, his brother Gary Carr, sister Garlene Bach, and son-in-law Rawdon Allen. Glenn is survived by his wife Glenda Shaddix Carr, son Dale and wife Vanessa Carr of Midland, daughter Jan Allen of Tempe, Arizona, Sharon Mitchie of Dallas, Teresa and husband Alan Dutt of White House, Texas. Grandchildren, 7 precious great-grandbabies. Glenn is also survived by numerous nieces, nephews, and other relatives. The family will continue the celebration of his life on November 20th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary of the First Baptist Church in Denton. Gifts may be directed to First Baptist Church Denton, Samaritan's Purse, or a favorite charity. R. Darrell Crass, 90, of Midland, passed away on October 28th. A visitation will begin at 5 p.m. on November 1st at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside service will be at 3 p.m. November 2nd at Rest Haven Cemetery in Midland. Darrell was born on December 14, 1930, in Ackerley, Texas, to Eddie and Dora Crass. Darrell is preceded in death by his first wife, Janine Bradford Crass, and his second wife, Linda Davidson Crass, his sister, Beulah Hammond, and his stepdaughter, April Davidson. He had 3 children, Linda Janine Crass, Dara Crass Richardson, and Derek Shane Crass. Darrell is survived by his brother, his children, stepchildren, and numerous grandchildren and great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Texas Groundwater Association. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Rodolfo José Baeza Marufo, 69, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 23rd, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for a later date of November 5th, service location to be determined. Burial will be held privately, also at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Bobby Wayne Davis, 86, of Odessa, died Friday, October 22nd, in Lubbock. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday, November 5th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Phyllis Lynn Eaton, 71, died Tuesday, October 26th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Lorraine Frances Hedgepeth, 91, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 12th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 11 a.m. Friday, November 12th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Pastor Jimmy Dennis is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Christopher Neal Gus Henderson, 43, of Odessa, died Friday, October 22nd, in Odessa. Chapel service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Monday, November 1st, at McNett Funeral Home Chapel in Andrews. Interment will follow in the Andrews North Cemetery, with Pastor David Crump officiating. Ronaldo Ray Hill, Jr., 60, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 21st, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled from 1 to 5 p.m., November 1st, at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Arnulfo Perez Martinez, 63, died Wednesday, October 27th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Bob Riney, 80, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 26th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m., November 6th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 1st. Election Day is Tuesday in Texas. Texas voters on Tuesday can weigh in on potential changes to the state's constitution regarding religious services, eligibility requirements for judges, county infrastructure, and more. The proposed additions to the Texas Constitution were passed as bills during this year's legislative session, and a majority of voters in the state must approve each amendment before it can be officially added to the Constitution. In 2017, Texas voters approved all 7 amendments on the ballot. In 2019, voters green-lighted 9 out of 10 proposed changes. Hector County voters won't have any local offices to decide. Early voting ended Friday. On Tuesday, registered voters can vote at the following locations from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. United Market, 1350 East 8th Street. United Market, 2751 North County Road West. Chapel Hill Baptist Church, 1820 East 52nd Street. Crossroads Fellowship, room 1135, 6901 Highway 191 frontage. First Church of the Nazarene Gymnasium, 2223 Lindale Drive. Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive. Lincoln Tower Ballroom, 311 West 4th Street. Lutheran Church of the Risen Lord in the foyer, 1603 North Grandview Avenue. The Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road. Odessa Christian Faith Center, 180 Youth Building, Sanctuary, 8828 Andrews Highway. Salinas Community Room, 600 West Clement Street. Westlake Hardware, 4652 East University Boulevard. Wilson's Corner Dining Room, 16514 South U.S. Highway 385. Gardendale Community Building, 4226 East Larkspur in Gardendale. The 8 proposed amendments to the Texas Constitution will be on the ballot for a statewide vote. For these amendments to pass, they must be approved by a majority of Texas voters. They are: Proposition 1 would amend the Texas Constitution to allow organizations sanctioned by the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association or the Women's Professional Rodeo Association to conduct charitable raffles at rodeos. Proposition 2 would amend the Texas Constitution to authorize counties to issue bonds or notes to finance the development of transportation projects in the county. Proposition 3 would amend the Texas Constitution to prohibit Texas state and local governments from issuing an order or rule that prohibits or limits religious services, including religious services conducted in places of worship. Proposition 4 would amend the Texas Constitution to require state judges and justices to have more years of experience in Texas as a licensed practicing lawyer, state court, or county court judge without having their license suspended or revoked. Proposition 5 would amend the Texas Constitution to give the State Commission on Judicial Conduct the authority to accept complaints and reports regarding the conduct of candidates for judicial offices and to take appropriate disciplinary action upon investigation. Proposition 6 would amend the Texas Constitution to establish the right of residents of nursing homes, living centers, and similar facilities to designate an essential caregiver with whom the facility, residence, or center may not prohibit in-person visitation. Proposition 7 would amend the Texas Constitution to provide that the surviving spouse of a person who is disabled is entitled to continue to receive the homestead school tax limitation if the surviving spouse is 55 years of age or older when the disabled person dies. Proposition 8 would amend the Texas Constitution to provide the surviving spouse of a member of the Armed Services of the United States who is killed in action an exemption from property taxes of all or part of the market value of the surviving spouse's residence homestead if the surviving spouse has not remarried since the death of the member. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Hector County, 25,721 total cases, 530 deaths. Midland County, 28,106 total cases, 365 deaths. Texas, 4,231,141 total cases, 70,886 deaths. U.S. cases, 45,846,153 total confirmed cases, and 743,410 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Dia de los Muertos Festival. The University of Texas Permian Basin has scheduled a Dia de los Muertos Festival from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. UTPB Ballet Folklorico, Mariachi, and Orchestra will perform at 7:30 p.m. Admission is free. For more information, call 432-552-3286. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Art Tales, Dancing Through Field of Color, by Elizabeth Brown, for ages 3 to 5 and the grown-ups from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Wednesday in the Art House during inclement weather. Admission is free. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a film documentary, Art Therapy Has Many Faces. It's 51 minutes long. The film will be shown at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday. A discussion will follow. Admission is free. Visit noelartmuseum.org. The Permian Basin Workforce Development Board has scheduled a veterans job fair as part of a statewide initiative, Hiring Red, White, and You. The event will take place in person and virtually for the 17 counties in the Permian Basin area from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday at the MCM Elegante Hotel at 5200 East University Boulevard. Featuring more than 40 local companies, the industries represented include construction, education, food service, healthcare, manufacturing, oil and gas, public sector, transportation, and warehousing. Permian Basin Workforce Solutions staff will be available to help attendees access resources and apply for jobs. Attendees can register in person or online by visiting tinyurl.com/UEMV CYXE. The Aden Vita Private School has scheduled a bingo night fundraiser from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday at the Premier Ballroom, 6482 West University Boulevard. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. There will be food, live music, drinks, and prizes. Sponsorship packages available for businesses and large parties. Pre-sale bingo books may be purchased from an Aden Vita student or call 432-305-9566. Tickets and books will also be available at the door. The Hacienda Event Center at 12610 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. On Friday, Christian Castro Hits Tour. November 12th, Signo, Joe Lopez y Grupo Maz. November 25th, Faruco, January 14th, 2022, Camila, Carla Brew, and special guest El Chaparro Chudenacre. On January 21st, Gerardo Ortiz, La Adictiva, La Fiera de Ujinaga, Impacto Sinaloense. For event times and tickets, visit HaciendaMidland.com. First Basin Credit Union has scheduled Shining Star Donation Drive benefiting High Sky Children's Ranch through November 19th. Visit an FBCU branch in Odessa, Midland, or Andrews to make a donation and help make Christmas wishes come true. Account number 80001-02. All monies raised and donated by First Basin will be presented to High Sky to purchase Christmas gifts for children of all ages up to 17 years old. Gifts purchased range from necessities such as blankets, winter coats, clothing, and shoes, to fun wish list items such as dolls, toy cars, and bicycles. FBCU locations are 2740 County Road West, 4217 Grandview Avenue, 713 Golder Avenue, and 7100 East Highway 191, all in Odessa, 3316 North Midland Drive in Midland, and 1205 Northeast 1st Street in Andrews. Visit firstbasin.com. Centers for Children and Families, 3701 Andrews Highway, Midland, are accepting donations for its Operation ELF from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. through November 24th. The center is collecting new, unwrapped toys for children ages 4 through 12 and accepting donations for the purchase of gift cards for teens. Gifts may be dropped off Monday through Thursday or mailed to the center. Donations may be made via credit card at centerstx.org. For more information, call 432-570-1084, email kedwards@centerstx.org, or visit tinyurl.com/24ptmmvx.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.